In her latest collection of poetry, Franny Choi draws on her family's history. Her parents immigrated to the United States from Seoul, South Korea, just a few months before she was born.
In my family history is all of the painful parts of modern Korean history, from colonization by the Japanese Empire to war and that devastating war that decimated the peninsula, and also the division of the Koreas.
Her book is called The World Keeps Ending and the World Goes On, which also happens to be the title of one of the poems in her collection. She says she wrote the poems to cope with the state of the world, each one a reminder of other moments in the past that were apocalyptic, just not for everyone.
My partner is Black and I'm Korean, and in both of our family lineages are these enormous calamities in which our ancestors survived what seemed utterly unsurvivable. You know, what is more dystopian than the transatlantic slave trade? And, you know, what is more dystopian than the dropping of atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which effectively ended, was the beginning of the end of Japanese colonial rule. And so remembering that the apocalypses, the kind of like world-ending calamities that sort of like seem always on the horizon and like threatening to take over, are actually in some ways are those things that we had to survive in order to even get here. Maybe it's a little morbid that was comforting to me, but it was, yeah.
Right? I was like, oh, how comforting.
Yeah, I know,
nuclear bombs and the transit. But I see what you mean. Like, we are living these every day. You and I might not be living them right now, but somebody in this world is living it right now and has lived it.
Yeah, and I remember around that time reading an essay by the writer Rebecca Solnit, who said, it's actually easy to imagine the end of the world. What's hard is imagining that a world might actually go on after that terrible, unsurvivable thing, that some version of the world might continue. And so I've never been one to turn down the hard homework. So I said, okay, I will try. I will do my best.
Did you find comfort in revisiting the terribleness of what humanity has done in history?
What an amazing question. I'm laughing because the answer is yes. To know that my being here is dependent on someone having made a life out of an impossible situation makes me feel like, one, I too can survive, you know, the things that are thrown at me.
Mm-hmm.
But also that this is part of what it means to be alive.
Franny, could you read an excerpt from The World Keeps Ending and The World Goes On?
The world keeps ending and the world goes on. The apocalypse began when Columbus praised God and lowered his anchor. It began when a continent was drawn into cutlets. It began when Kublai Khan told Marco, begin at the beginning. By the time the apocalypse began, the world had already ended. It ended every day for a century or two. It ended, and another ending world spun in its place.
So both there's like a doomed sense in it, but also this idea that something will always live?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think that so often what we think of as the end of the world is actually just an end of a world that we know, which, you know, something that closes and then makes room for the next thing, which might be more terrible or less terrible, but I think that the what I find comfort in is the not knowing.
You explore a lot of dark themes in human history and current events, right? You talk about this is what you're watching in the world you live in, and in the world of those who came before you. And then you end the collection with Protest Poem. And there is where I feel like there's kind of a call to action here. Like, after all that we've learned and all that we've read about the world ending and beginning and ending and beginning, you write, nothing cuts through walls like rage and its promises. No peace is a drill. Joy you have to charge to make work. So this poem felt different to me. Can you talk about choosing to end the collection on this and in writing this poem?
Yeah, sure. I mean, First of all, I think it's a little bit of a joke to myself to end this collection on a poem that's called Protest Poem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that the idea of protest poetry everybody sort of has like a set of ideas about what does and doesn't count as protest poetry. Throughout the book, I'm sort of asking, like, is that what I'm doing? Like, I'm not sure. I mean, like, yes, but what does that mean? This is a poem that I wrote while sitting in my apartment at the time in Northampton, Massachusetts. This was 2020. It was the summer, and George Floyd had been murdered maybe a few weeks before. And the protests in our city were kind of like rocking the house. You know, the walls were shaking from the noise outside. And it is a physical experience to be in that moment of intense protest. And that was what I felt. Like, I couldn't even exactly hear the words of the chants that were being shouted. I could just feel the walls shaking, hear the cheer that followed each time a chant was repeated, and then feel the emotions of my body, every one of which were saying, something must be done, something has to change, that this grief and this rage have to go somewhere. And that was enough, you know, just the sounds and the feelings were enough, which is, I think, like, both beautiful and a little troubling as somebody whose work is words, you know, that the words in some ways don't even really matter. And so I think that I was ending the collection saying, okay, like, all of these words, you know, this is what I've been able to do. And then if you're going to take something from it, it would be wonderful if you took some of the language. It would be wonderful if you took some of the ideas. But if there's one thing you take away, I hope that it's this feeling of going through grief and rage and then getting to experience for the span of one book what something better might feel like.
Franny Choi, her new book is called The World Keeps Ending. And the world goes on. Franny, thank you so much.
Thank you, Layla.